What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Cub Cooker Supernatural Podcast. My name is Jacob Cooker, but my friends call me Cub, and you should too. Every day on the Cub Cooker Supernatural Podcast, we are unlocking secrets of the ancient mythos, and today is no different. I've got a brilliant episode for you today, something that I've been thinking about quite a bit recently, and I've had so many questions on. I really wanted to get into this today. And have this conversation with our larger community online. And today's message is entitled, H-E-L-L is not real. Jesus taught about suffering, not punishment. This is the Cub Cooker Supernatural Podcast, episode 415. If you are not familiar with my podcast, I talk a whole lot about the biblical mythos in a very non-traditional way. This is not a religious message. This is not a church message. This is a message of love and light and unity. I am deconstructed from my personal religious tradition, which was evangelical Christianity, and I no longer follow that. However, I do really vibe with the message of Jesus, and we're going to talk a lot about that today. And spoiler alert, the message of Jesus for me has nothing to do with what Paul said and nothing to do with what the Old Testament says. However, there are clues in both of those other doctrines as to what Jesus was actually talking about, in my humble opinion. So that's how we're going to get into it today, and should be a really good conversation. What's up, Goddess Ishtar? Welcome. Thank you for joining. Appreciate the follow, my friend. Jesus talked about how to ascend. Eric says 1,000%, brother. Absolutely. I completely agree. And so, yeah, that's a big part of what I teach is Ascension Protocol. I'm going to go over my 3-point strategy of what I teach today and share with everybody here in a very clear format. What I actually teach, preach, believe, and act on, because it is, I think, a philosophy that a whole lot more people could benefit from if we can, you know, get past the deconstruction phase. And so I'm really here to be second phase for people after deconstruction. If you have deconstructed, I'm here to help you. If you have not and you're trying to, I definitely can help with that as well. But a lot of what I'm going to talk about today is going to require a pretty deconstructed point of view from religiosity or churchianity. So all love and light to everybody. I'm not here to step on anyone's toes. I respect and believe that it is right to honor everyone's belief systems as long as they're not hurting anyone or anything. So beyond that, I'm just here to share my opinion. So we have a lot of fun here. The whole point is to have fun, enjoy each other, and have a great conversation. So today we're going to look at a couple of places that are quoted in the Bible as Jesus talking about hell. And I am not saying hell as a curse word here. I am saying hell as a biblical concept and a mythological concept. We are talking about the ideology of a eternal place of fire and punishment. And I do not believe that Jesus was talking about that whatsoever when he mentioned what we commonly interpret as hell within the Christian doctrine. Case and point, I'm going to read from Matthew 10:28. And from Matt, and from Mark 9:43. These are just a couple of little places that I'm going to kind of hit on today. There are many other cases that you can go look at in the Bible. Of course, Paul perpetuates a lot of this through what I consider the Roman church, which was basically taken from what Jesus was talking about and then perpetuated into another construct, just like the one that Jesus was speaking out against. And when I say construct, I am not saying that he was speaking out against anyone who was Jewish. I'm saying that he was speaking out against the way that the ancient mystical teachings had been perpetuated into a dogmatic system of control. So when I talk about that, this is not against any particular people. And I want to make sure everyone's very clear in the comments Be very kind to everybody. That's not what I'm talking about today. So we got a bunch of people watching. Thank you guys so much. Great day to be alive and live. So Jesus spoke of a place called Gehenna. And I want to talk about the mythos behind Gehenna. Again, I uncover the ancient mythos here. I think the secret to ascension and to manifesting and to living to your full potential and your full destiny lies within the ancient mythos, but again, not in the way that most people want to interpret it. And unfortunately, what you're going to see on TV, movies, and most popular books is just flat out building upon someone else's idea and interpretation. And I think it's time to go back to the drawing board and look at all of this. So one of the things I propose, I'm going to go through my little three-point system of teaching here. And again, these are things that I observe. This is what I teach, preach, and believe. And by the way, if you join my membership, this is what we're going to talk about. This is what I'm going to teach and all the video concepts that are in there, all the bonus content. We have Zoom calls every Saturday. This is going to be the exact three-pointed philosophy that I literally teach from. So 3 points, because our logo is, if you notice up above, or if you go to my website, you'll see my logo. It is a prism. And I believe that that prism of reality constitutes the spectrums of all different types of people, walks of life, race, religion, orientation, credo. The human experience is beautiful and diverse and should be celebrated at all points. And I think that we've been put under a system of control by the gods. What's up, Jim's by Joey? How are you, brother? I think we've been put under a system of control by the gods, and that system is finally being revealed. And we have the opportunity as the human race, 144 over here watching on the mainstream. Thank you, guys. Love that number, 144,000. Love it. So if you want to learn more about that, you can hit up CubKuker, CubKuker.com, or click on the link in my profile. That's going to have info on my membership. By the way, my membership is stupid affordable and highly, highly valuable. You will not believe how affordable it is to go ahead and join what I'm doing, meet an incredible community of people. You've got an off social media hub over there where we can have real conversations, make real friendships. You're going to get direct messaging access with me. You're going to get a link and an invite to every single Zoom call every single Saturday morning with myself and the whole community. We get on and have a what we call a fireside co-mentor chat. I mean, it's like a Zoom call. Everybody can share their opinion, their experiences. We do record the first part of those calls, and then we have private time after that. So even if you can't join live on Saturdays, you're going to get access to the recordings of those, as well as hundreds of my personal training videos that is all about spiritual training. If you've ever joined a gym in real life, this is like a spiritual gym. This is a group of people to help you with accountability, help you with manifestations, help you with questions, comments, prayer concerns, anything you might have, direct access to ask me questions and engage with me at any point, and I do my best to answer all of those first before I do anything on the public interwebs over there, and then just have a safe space to go and interact in. So it's fantastic. Go check that out. That's the way that I can keep dropping videos like this on the interweb. You can scan that QR code or hit up CubKuker, CubKuker.com. So as we get into this today, my three-pointed side of teaching here, or what I call the prism of understanding, is built on three separate ideologies. And I'm going to drop these in the comments because honestly, these are the ways that I literally have unlocked the matrix for myself. And I really try to help people understand this. And once people start to get this cycle of understanding, or these 3 points of understanding, there's a lot more aha moments that can flow. And that's why I say deconstruction is kind of the precursor to what I teach, though I do have a lot of courses and teachings over in my academy as a part of the membership, that if you are deconstructing right now, that I promise they will help you. I promise they will. If they don't, you can cancel anytime. You don't even have to tell me. You can cancel right in your member portal. It's super easy. So Sandra says, where is the quote unquote mainstream? The mainstream is going to be on Facebook and YouTube. And it actually goes out as a split stream to both of them. So that's where we got a lot of people watching between both of those today. So thank you guys. And then we got a bunch of people over on TikTok now, and just a handful over on Instagram. But I keep Instagram open because we got some people over there that I want to make sure don't miss it. So what's up, Honeybee? How are you doing? Multidimensional therapist, how are you doing? Hope you're having a beautiful day. Says, then you definitely need me in the group. Man, we would love, love, love to have you come and check it out. We've got all kinds of spiritual practitioners over there, from card readers to astrologers to crystal experts to dream walkers, all kinds of incredible people over there. And that is what I love about our membership. It's why I pump it up every time I can, because I literally think that I am doing people a disservice by not telling them about it. I've had people go, how come I didn't know about this? And that is my fault. And I don't ever want to be in that feeling of I could have helped somebody by getting them into the community that they actually need to be in and not talking about it. So if you think I'm just here to market, you are completely misinterpreting. I am actually trying to help you and give you that opportunity that's been calling you for a long time, get you in a community, get you on the Zoom calls, get you in the academy, get you thinking about taking serious and taking action on your spiritual walk in life so that you can literally step into a new destiny. Rather than the destiny that was put upon you from day one when you were born by your family, your culture, your religion, all of those things. So the Texas Rail Fanner says, Jesus is real. Twice. You got to say it twice, man. If you got to say it twice, do you believe it? That's my question. If you got to say it twice to yourself, do you actually believe it? So 9 times out of 10, I find out that the people that preach the most need the most convincing. And so I find that very interesting, especially coming out of the evangelical bent. The more I would go out and try to save other people, the less convinced I was and the less actual results I was having from the belief system that I followed. So much love and respect, my friend. But just something I noticed there, 2 comments in a row. You might want to start questioning everything. I think that's very, very important. Question everything. Question your belief system. Question your God. Question the church. Question the construct. Question your own existence. Question who you are, what you are, why you're here. Question absolutely everything. What's up, Kenny? How are you doing? Drywall Mike, what's up? Drywall Mike says, I think the Bible is not prophetic, but a warning because of resets that have happened over and over and over. This is what happens right before the pole shift. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Yeah. What do I think of that? I think a lot of that is conspiracy theories that people need to steer the hell away from. Okay. Love you, my friend, but I swear guys, there's so much trash on the internet right now that needs to go to that Gehenna place that we're talking about today, that needs to go get burned up in the trash heap of society, because it's time to start waking up. And rather than thinking that everybody's out to get us, and oh, the world's going to have a pole shift and all of this stuff and all the earthquakes and the volcanoes, and it's like, quit worrying about it. Like, literally, you have way more to worry about within your own soul than you do on this planet. And if you've ever noticed, there hasn't ever been anything truly horrifying that's happened in your lifetime or your parents or your grandparents beyond man-made things like WW1, WW2, those type of things. There's never been, other than localized disasters, there's never been a global reset. There's never been a global like pole shift or any of those like continents moving or all that stuff. Everybody, you know, the doomsday stuff everybody worries about. We don't have any documentation of that. Beyond the flood, what they call the Younger Dryas, way, 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 way back in the day, none of us have any experience with that whatsoever. And so that's why I say question everything. My biggest question is like, why do we keep worrying about this stuff? Why do we think that there's something coming like a pole shift? Why do we think that we have doomsday upon us? Why do we think that blah, blah, blah? Well, because they keep selling us a boatload of fear through everything. And so we can either keep, worrying about it. And just by entertaining the thought, we give it power. And so I'm not saying you're worried about it, my friend. I'm just saying even by entertaining the thought, you're literally not alchemizing the spirit within you. You're literally not focused on the yoga that Jesus talked about. You're literally not focused on your sovereignty as a God on this earth. You are the emanation, the incarnation of the creator of the entire universe walking on this earth, just like Jesus was, just like every other ascended master. You just have to come into agreement with that. These people like Jesus were not warning of a coming end. They were promising a kingdom within, a consciousness that would rise up together. Even Jesus was accused of, he didn't really set the captives free. He didn't really do anything. He didn't take up a sword. He didn't overthrow anything. And so many people were upset with that. But he did what is called esoteric magic. And he literally reprogrammed the hearts and minds of people through his words, through magic, through incantations, and through the rituals that he performed with his followers. And that's something we all can do, by the way. That's something the church does to us. It's something we do in schools. It's something that we do every 4 years, which we're about to do. There's all kinds of different connotations to that esoteric magic. So let's see. No Tomorrow says Jesus is real, but him being God, I don't think so. And that's the thing, was he the one and only emanation of God, or was he the highest realization of it, showing what is possible? And that's more what I actually believe, is that he woke up, realized he was God, showed us we can be God too. And then went on with his, his ministry. So, okay. So you just don't understand magic, No Tomorrow. If you understand magic, esoteric magic is you do it every day. The way you talk to your wife, the way you talk to your husband, the way you talk to your significant other, the way you speak at work, your reality is literally created by esoteric magic. It is signs and symbols. It is numerical codes. It is matrix codes. And it is the words that you create with, which create thoughts, emotions, and actions. Okay. If you don't believe me, go ask any esotericist, go look at every great spiritual doctrine on the planet, and you will understand that esoteric magic is literally everywhere. It is how this entire construct is built. Go look at the money that you spend every day. Look at all of the symbolism on that. If it was just money, it would literally just have a number on it. Like, it would literally just have a number on it. It wouldn't have a picture of a guy that's no longer around and a picture of stuff that doesn't really have anything to do with our country. It wouldn't have a bunch of writings in Latin. It wouldn't, dot, dot, dot. I can't even talk about some of that stuff here, guys. I can't even get deep on that. So what I'm saying is you got to wake up. You got to start looking around and quit saying Jesus didn't do magic and re-question the idea of what is magic, okay? You got a Hollywood mind about you, my friend. Don't get that Hollywood mind all over this place. Get the Hollywood mind out of you and start thinking about what magic actually is. So Noah says, did Jesus teach about reincarnation? I've never been able to believe that we only live once. 1,000% he did, Noah. 1,000%. Go read the book, The Yoga of Jesus by Yogananda Paramahansa. Absolutely will change your life. You begin to understand every concept Jesus talked about is from ancient yogic traditions, not religiosity, not Hindu religion, but the mystic philosophies of the East. And that includes Buddhism, Hinduism, and general mysticism that he literally would have been practicing, and that I believe he brought back to Palestine and shared with all the people of his day and age. So yeah, Autobiography of a Yogi is fantastic. Absolutely. I don't always recommend that one first because it has terminology in it that if you are not adept to the yogic philosophy, it's so confusing. Fantastic book, by the way. But I always recommend The Yoga of Jesus because it's such a beautiful philosophical little read, and it's you can read it in a single sitting almost. It's just a short little book, and yet it contains so much truth and so much connection of the message of Jesus. Truth train out there of the message of Jesus. It's just a beautiful little book, and I love it, love it, love it. I keep it with me all the time. I actually even travel with it just to like literally be able to read it all the time. I bought it in Santa Fe, New Mexico, when I was having a very spiritual experience there and going through a lot of changes in life, and happened to find it on the shelf of a metaphysical bookshop there, and had some great coffee and went back to the little cabin that I was staying in on top of the mountain and got to read it as the sun was going down and the stars were out at night, and just hanging out at this beautiful cabin in the middle of nowhere on top of the hill. You could see the whole city and valley from there. And it's just beautiful. It's just beautiful. So, Pantali, Vedic, not Yoganandic. So yogic is what I was saying, not Yoganandic. Yogic being, based in yoga. Vedic is actually a very different system. Vedic teachings contain some yoga, but Vedic teachings are more like the old law in Judaism, to the more mystical Eastern practitioner, if that makes sense. So the Vedas are more like the Old Testament. And that's why I actually separate the Old Testament from what Jesus was saying, because I think that he was exposing, you know, a lot of the issues with that, and then also re-implanting a lot of the mysticism to understand that taking all of this literally just causes way more suffering than we need. And that's actually what I'm going to share today. And rather than him talking about a literal physical hell for your body and your soul, he was actually alluding to the fact that these old laws of religiosity were literally leading you to suffer. And if you are to take them so literally, you know, remember that you should be fearing that deity that could literally destroy your body and soul. And that was what Jesus is referring to. Not that I believe he was referring to his father destroying body and soul, but rather, hey, if you're going to take all of this literally, you might as well just cut your hand off today. You might as well just cut anything off that causes you to sin. That way you can, you know, enter through this particular law unscathed, and you don't have to, you know, be unalived and burned to Moloch in this horrible place called Gehenna, which, by the way, was their trash dump, and they would literally throw bodies there. And that's also a connection and a hearkening back to the burnt offerings that would be offered to different deities. A lot of this has been tied back to like Moloch, but this is really more, again, I think talking about, they literally believed in a lot of different sects that you had to unalive children to, you know, enter into grace with the deities. And that's just absolutely, absolutely not true, guys. I mean, come on. Absolutely, absolutely. Honeybee says hell is a state of mind, not an eternal place of torment. And that's what I wanted to talk about today, is like, we actually, you know, you create more of a hell on earth for people when you tell them they're going there. When you warn them and you make them worry, and they're like, well, what about all of this? And what about this? And it puts so much pressure on choosing one belief system and hoping that you're right. And the best argument I've ever heard of for hell is, well, wouldn't you rather be safe than sorry? Dude, that's what your mom tells you when you go ride your bike, not what a good spiritual doctrine would teach you. I mean, come on, like, let's grow up a little bit and understand it's 2024 and it's enough of the fairy tales. I talk about the fairy tales and extract the spiritual meaning out of them. Let's start doing that again. If we're going to believe in mythologies, let's understand what the esoteric meaning is and do the magic behind it, rather than trying to, you know, take the literal interpretation and go, well, God's invisible and spiritual and he's perfect and he requires perfection, and therefore Jesus, his son, had to die for me because I'm not perfect to reconcile me to a father who's supposed to perfectly love me, but he can't because I'm so horrible. Do you see like the broken mentality that leads you to? And then you have to go start telling other people about that. Hey, look how broken I am. Hey, look how broken you are. Nobody needs proof of how broken they are. Okay. You start doing that, you literally become devil's advocate, because Hasatan means the accuser, and that is the Hebrew word for Satan. And so if you start being the accuser to people, you're literally playing the devil's advocate. And I hate to tell you, but most people that come at me with this, like, you know, evangelical Christian doctrine, much love and light, my friends, but I'm telling you, you are playing the part of the devil in the hero's journey. You literally are playing that part. You are playing the accuser. And if you realized what you were doing, I hope you would stop it immediately. You realize how much hurt you and pain you're putting on people that, for no reason, because you're just creating and perpetuating a system of control that's already controlling you. So, again, I mean that in all love and light. So, Sandra says, do you think that there are truly evil people in existence? If so, what do you think happens to them when they die? No, I don't believe in evil at all. I'm a non-dualist. And a non-dualist means that, I view everything in our reality is through three different modes, and that would be ignorance, that would be passion, or good. And so people either act out of ignorance, passion, or good every single day. The yogi who acts out of the highest good all the time, realizing God within them and God within all things and feeling that, they don't have to follow a law or a rule, of religion. They just literally do the right thing, and they do it out of love and the highest good, not out of fear. Fear is a passion, by the way. So, most of the time when you have fear, it's going to either fall into ignorance or passion. Most people have fear out of ignorance, but even people that understand this stuff can start getting into passion. And they're like, well, okay, well, you know, I just want to be safe. And so that passion like takes over, and they're like, well, this is probably the right belief system. I mean, it's the one that promises eternal life, right? No. You already have eternal life. You just need to claim it. You just need to come into agreement with it. You just need to realize that God's already in you. The kingdom of God is within you. Basileia Theos Intos. That's literally what Jesus told them. And in the Greek, that means the rule or reign or authority of the supreme divinity is within you. It's literally what it means. And so he was not talking about a physical kingdom or a heaven to come on earth, but rather a place within you in secret that you meet with the true being within you. And you unite your identity, which would be yourself, with the higher self, the Atman with the Brahman, or the soul with the super soul, or you with God. Most people are still in themselves identifying as the ego. And a lot of times the ego is really what's judging themselves and others, because they realize that their ego cannot enter the holy room of God within them, and that it actually has to be crucified. But again, when we take this literally, it causes a whole slew of issues, rather than taking it esoterically and understanding that we all have to overcome or crucify the flesh ego. And that does not mean hurting ourselves, harming ourselves, or doing anything to our physical bodies. What it does mean is overcoming our animalistic urges and our flesh, and even the ideas that, oh, we're separate from God, so something else has to stand in my place. That is still a construction of the ego. Even the doctrine of Jesus going to the cross for you is a construction of the ego. But when you flip it and you go, this is an allegory, because the Son of Man had to be crucified or overcome so that the Spirit can ascend and it can be recreated in glory. Okay, when you realize that's alchemy that happens within your heart, you're never going to go another day of your life questioning, you know, well, do I have Jesus or not? Because it's not about Jesus at that point. He's just the messenger. It's about the Christ spirit that lived within him that you can have gnosis of as well. You can call it the anointed, the chosen, the chrisen, the Krishna, the Christos, whatever you want to call it. It's that same spirit that lives in all of us. So, let's see. No Tomorrow says John 17:3. Let me look that up. Hey, if you want to debate, you can go to another channel, but I'm happy to look up verses. John 17:3. Let me look it up. If you want to know what it really means, I'm happy to share it with you. I'm going to grab it and I'm going to go over to the lexicon, which I like to use. Look up the Greek on it. Because unless you're using that, there ain't one translation on the planet right now that's going to give you the real behind it and tell you what it actually means. You got to go to a tool like Bible Hub or the Greek Lexicon or something like that. Look at your interlinear meaning. Got to get it to pull up right here. Okay. Okay, so this says, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Okay, so this is coming from John 17:3, and we need to look at context around that. So let me go back. This is why you guys have to study, okay? Because people are going to try to throw verses at you all day long. They're going to give you all these reasons, all these churchy reasons why you don't understand. And so that's where, again, a little bit of research goes a long way into understanding this. So, and I'm going to read the whole chapter here. So we're going to read John 17. It says, Jesus said these things, then lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may also glorify you, even as you give him authority over all flesh. Okay. That literally lines up with what I was just saying. So, and I understand you're trying to argue with me, but the argument is null and void, because literally what I was just saying is that the Christ spirit overcomes your ego, your flesh. So this literally lines up esoterically. And rather than this having to happen physically, if it did, great, but it still means something esoterically. So he will give eternal life to all who has given, to all whom you have given to him. This is eternal life, that they should know the only true God and him whom you have sent, which is Christ. Okay. And that's where, when you look at the Greek, which is the name of Jesus here, or Eleison, or Eoson, or Jesus, or Jesus, or Yeshua, or whatever you want to call it. Because everybody wants to argue on what his real name is. I'm just giving you guys all the different terminologies for his name. So this is saying that he was a messenger of God, and that he was the anointed one, which is the Christos. So again, this is not a literal, let me put an idol of Jesus on the wall and worship that idol. This is the understanding that this yogi, this messenger, Yeshua the Christos, Jesus the Christ, because his name ain't Jesus H. Christ, by the way. It's Jesus the Christ. He is the anointed one Christ, or the anointed one Jesus, or Yeshua. So that's like, we have to understand that from the beginning, first off. And so that's where, like, a lot of these literal arguments start to come in. And a lot of that comes from church theology. I'm just going to be 100% honest and not looking at the actual words and understanding esotericism. And you have to almost be initiated into esotericism. And that's, again, one of the things I do in my community, in my academy, and in my membership, is I help people work through this initiation process, work through the deconstruction, start to understand etymology, start to look at things through the framework that I teach, which goes through my three levels of teaching, or the three pillars of teaching that I do, which is ancient astronaut theory, Christ consciousness, and simulated reality. And I'm going to get deep into those three here in a second, just to show you, you know, with or without me, this, you can follow the same philosophy and get to the same conclusions, because it's kind of the one thing that starts to make sense with all the new data we have. And it's going to help you deconstruct. It's going to help you reconstruct. It's going to help you understand, kind of what to do with a lot of this data, and how do you organize it? How do you put things into categories that make sense? So, Bye-bye says, God is not a book or a religion. 1000%. I totally agree, my friend. Let's see. Emmanuel says, when you learn to do everything out of love is when you become the God that is within us. 1,000% absolutely. The cosmos is heaven. You're already in heaven. 1,000% absolutely. Demons, Michelle says, so demons are, they're not what you think about. They are, again, we have like a mythology within the Bible of them speaking to Jesus and all of these things. If you understand daemons, they are chaotic energies that disrupt the chakric energy centers of the metaphysical body. And so according to ancient Indian spirit science, you have the chakras within the body, and the daemons will begin to disrupt them. And you start collecting daemons just like Pokemon from day one when you're a little kid, okay? You jump up on the table and you're like, I'm Superman. And mom and dad are like, get down off of there. You are not Superman. You're going to break your neck. Get off of that. And all of a sudden, boom, you get trauma because survival starts becoming more important. Your ego starts becoming more important than your spirit at that point. And I'm not saying mommy or daddy are wrong for keeping you alive. I'm just saying there's a difference between picking a child up and putting him back on the floor and programming them with a programmatic understanding that you are not Superman. You are going to break your neck if you keep jumping up on that table. And so I'm not here to comment on parenting whatsoever. I'm just telling you, this is literally the programming that mommy and daddy are programmed with. And then the child is programmed with, and then their children are programmed with. And this is how this construct is perpetuated. And rather than having physical walls or a Garden of Eden or a prison, we are literally already indoctrinated into that of the mind. Sandra says, I totally respect your beliefs and I like you, Cub, but how can you be so sure that you are right? So much that you state in these things like you have no doubts and that you have all the answers. Would feel much more comfortable if you said, hey, this is what I think. Actually, I said that like 4 or 5 different times at the beginning of this, Sandra. If you tune in, you can rewind and watch it. I've never said I'm right, but I am here to teach with authority. Okay. And I'm going to teach with authority. It doesn't help anyone if I sit here and apologize all day long. So if it offends you that I teach with authority, then you're going to find other people that will manipulate you with their authority. So at the very least, I have the humbleness to upfront state, I respect your opinion. I respect your religion. Here is my point of view. This is how I personally do it. And so I say that every single time. I also want to read to you my disclaimer, which is at the bottom of every video. You can go click into the description, Sandra, and see that. And it says, content is for entertainment purposes only. This is not medical, financial, or legal advice. Always conduct your own research. Please respect all races, religions, orientations, identities, and cultures. Opinions expressed are those of the presenters only. There is no guarantees of results or outcomes. Links may generate commissions for the presenter. Cited works are used under fair use laws. And then it has my copyright. So not once in there did I tell you that I have the truth, that I will fix all your problems, or that I'm right. With that said, I have the confidence level, which very few people do, to get up here, take the heat every day. Somebody gives me a verse and I'm able to go look it up and tell you exactly what I think about it. Not that I'm right, but that is what I think and what I understand. So I hope you understand that. I know that can be offensive to some people, but it's not intended to be offensive. It's intended to, I help a lot more people when I get up here and I actually state what I think. I have spent 400 plus episodes apologizing for my work, and I'm done. I won't apologize for it anymore. I give you that disclaimer up front. It's in the description, and I tell you I respect you. That's all I'm gonna do, because if I keep backtracking the entire video, A, it's not good content, and B, it is not being truthful to what I actually believe and experience. So with that said, I promise you, come back in a year, I will have changed my tune on some of this. I promise you, come back in 2 years, I will have changed my tune. Go back and watch episode 3 or 4 of the 400 plus podcast episodes, and you're going to see a completely different Cub. One that was afraid to even share his opinion. One that was apologizing the entire time. And I am in my power and my flow state now, where I am beginning to put together a system that actually helps people, that I personally believe and I've witnessed help people. Now, I can't guarantee you that, and I won't guarantee you that, but I promise you that I've watched it over and over and over. So much love and respect, my friend. Sandra says, I did not hear that. Thank you for letting me know. That is how you feel. Make things easier to listen to. Absolutely, my friend. Absolutely. I am one of the more humble people out there when it comes to dealing with a lot of different belief systems. And if you get on a Zoom call with us on Saturday, you're going to see like every different point of view. You'll see people that are still like pretty deeply embedded in the church or the prophetic system. You'll see some people that are like straight up, you know, witch and witchcraft and warlock. You'll see people that are tarot, you'll see new age, you'll see on the fence, you'll see deconstructed, you'll see afraid to even turn the camera on, which is totally cool. And I do my absolute best to respect, love, and guide each and every one of those people. And so please don't take my confidence for lack of being humble and grateful that I get to do what I'm doing. But I have to learn. Part of my learning process is to learn to actually wield some authority here. And just like Jesus, he spoke with authority because he understood the deeper philosophies rather than the letter of the law. He understood the letter of the law so much that he could speak and understand the esoteric undertones of it. And that was a very, very helpful thing to him being able to teach. And that's one of the things that I have gone through a lot of stuff to really learn what to do and what not to do. And I've burned myself too many times to let other people do it. And that's why I speak so confidently about these things, is if I let people that trust me to be a mentor and to bring good content to them and guide them, if I let them walk right back into the doors of the church and the doctrine and the dogma, then I'm literally letting them hurt themselves. Now, I can't make them do anything, but I know exactly what that does. I know it's just sticking your hand right back in the fire. I know it's not helpful. I know some people learn that way. I did it over and over and over and over. I thought that if I just kept going back into the church, if I kept going back into traditional ministry, somehow God would give me the true answers and I would be able to, like, you know, guide people from a beautiful place. And that just was not true. It's just not true, because those doctrines are not all from Jesus himself. They are mixed from Paul and Peter and Jesus and the Old Testament and Moses and Enoch and Genesis, which is a straight up mythology from the Babylonian, Akkadian, and Sumerian mythos. And I'm one of the few people that have done enough of the research and go down the rabbit hole of these mythologies to understand that 90% of what a lot of people are believing coming through the church is literally mythology. Like, they say it's the high holy word of God. That straight up came from King James, who people absolutely hated. And he coined the phrase word of God. Well, it had his name on it. Of course, that's going to be the word of God. Of course, he handed it out to the masses. Here you go. You're welcome. I give you the word of God, the King James edition of the word of God. That's why I do not read. I do not perpetuate, and I do not agree with the King James Version in any form or fashion, because it's one of the furthest away from the Greek and Hebrew you will find. It takes too many liberties. It's hard to read, and it takes a high holier than thou assumption on a lot of different passages in it. And I personally don't perpetuate it. So, Drywall Mike says, Jacob, why do you think that this awakening is happening to all of us at once? And it seems like, why is it so painful, do you think? You're a humble and nice guy. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate that. I think the awakening is happening right now because the frequency of our planet's turning up. And if you think about high frequency and low frequency, what happens when you put high and low together? If they're not in tune or alchemized, okay, you're going to end up with what's called dissonance. And dissonance can literally break up rock. If you hit the right dissonance frequencies, you can break up rocks, and it can cause your eardrums to bleed and all kinds of stuff, right? You ever been in a car that's got bass so loud that it's not even in sync? It's just vibrating all over the place. But if you're to actually put that in a good quality sound system, and tune all the frequencies together, you end up with really nice music. You get the nice bass hit. You get the nice high tones. You can hear the lyrics, everything. And you get a really nice sound, an alchemized sound. And so right now what's happening, you're getting a lot more high frequency on the planet. What's happening to people that are still in their ego is it's literally destroying their lives. Like, it's literally wrecking their lives. They're either going to get fired, divorced. People have had thoughts all over the place. I've watched people literally leave the planet, either by their own choice or just by becoming so diseased that they don't last very long, right? And so the way I honestly view that is that frequency gets turned up higher. That requires people to literally shed that ego, shed that state of the flesh, and begin to go on that ascension journey, which is not easy, by the way. And it's almost like everybody's going to be forced to either go through it or get off the ride. And that's kind of how I see that, like the Great Awakening or the Division or whatever, people that choose to stay in the low vibration are going to end up with so much dissonance, and they're going to act it out on other people, on themselves, on their marriages, on whatever, you know. And you can see it just driving in traffic, the way people treat you, right? And that's why I always try to like wave at people and smile and let people go first and like whatever I can to be kind and share a smile. And that's out of genuine love, not out of like some operating code that I have to follow. So, okay, let's see. Sandra wants to know, how is it painful for you, Mike? Mudman Mike. Anyway, and thank you, Sandra. Appreciate your comment, my friend. And it was a really good opportunity to go down that rabbit hole. So, because I want people to see that about me. I want to be exposed enough to, for people to understand that there's a lot of creators online now that just have so much ego that you can't even break through it with a comment. So, I'm glad that I can be here to answer questions personally. So, okay. So Tom, what's up, brother? Tom says, your thoughts on how Paul warns about mythology and genealogy. If you can give me a verse, I'll read it and I'll give you my opinion, Tom. Look that up real quick, drop it in the comments, and I will look up your verse, my friend. You know, I love doing that. So, let's see. Y'all got a lot of questions today. So, Raxel says, nothing is true. Everything is permitted. Absolutely. Do what thou wilt. Do what thou wilt. Aleister Crowley. Truth in Christ says, the ego problem in the awakening movement is unbearable. Yeah. And, again, it started with the evangelical movement and even the church movement. And it goes all the way back to Paul. And even the ego in Christ is such an issue. It's such an issue. And that ego in Christ, you know, I'm a Christ believer. I have Christ in me. I have whatever. And then it moves into the New Age movement. It moves into everything. And so just having that ego about it is a big, big problem. Now, knowing your worth, knowing you can help other people is one thing. And I really respect teachers that have that. But there's a lot out there that come across as just incredibly egotistical. And they don't even have that balance of like, you know, even showing a bit of humbleness anywhere. And so, but I appreciate you saying that, because it really is an issue, you know, is just the ego going around. Because the awakening movement, it doesn't make you better than anyone if you're awake. Okay. Even the idea that everyone else is a non-player character can cause a lot of ego issues, and like, oh, I'm better than all these people that are just drones. Like, it's a problem, right? And if you realize that they're still you, they are unresolved parts of you, of your ego. And if all you have is a bunch of drones or Agent Smiths or non-player characters coming at you all the time, you literally still have parts of you that exhibit those qualities, because you're actually creating reality for yourself. And I'm going to talk about that here in a second with part of my philosophy that I teach and how all this works together with simulation theory. What's up, Dreamstar? How are you? Dreamstar says, we're all just silly gooses, more so when we're indoctrinated. 1,000%. Absolutely. Christian Jude Michaels says, I'd love to have a discussion with you. Your outlook is so respectable. Thank you so much, my friend. I appreciate that. Love to have a discussion with you too. Come and check out the community. I'd love to jump on a Zoom call with you on a Saturday. Even if you just join for a month to come check it out, it's super affordable. Lots of fun. We can talk. You can talk to other people in the community. It's a great place to explore. Like, if you don't have a church, that's why my membership is there. Okay. I'm not trying to be a church. It's not like a church or anything like that. We don't do like worship services or anything. It's just like a bunch of people meeting together. But I wanted a meeting place. That's what a church is actually supposed to be, a place where people can meet together, work together, and go out and do good work. And that's actually how we set up our membership. So it's very different. Instead of passing an offering plate and saying, please, sir, I'd like some more. You know, it's just upfront, one price. You get it all. Super easy. It's a no-brainer, guy. Like, it literally is the easiest decision you will make this week. You're welcome. Go hit up the website. Go make the easiest decision you'll make this week. Come and join us. Come and see what a discussion with myself and the rest of the communities actually does to bear fruit in your life and help you alchemize things spiritually. Find out that there's people out there that think like you, and there's people out like people out there that think completely different than you. 444 on the clock. And that's okay. And you can work together, and you can come into agreement, and you can be a part of a community, and you're not alone. And any other questions you have and points of study or going through the academy or message me or message other people or whatever you need in your spiritual journey, I've done my absolute best to provide multiple points of support and encouragement for you built right into our community and our membership. So go check that out. Thank you, Tom. I'm going to go look that up. Tom says 1 Timothy 1:4. Okay, so 1 Tim 1:4. Okay, so first off, just so you guys know, 1 Timothy is not actually Paul. It is pseudepigrapha. Titus and Timothy are pseudepigrapha, meaning someone else wrote it later on in his name. And it wasn't actually him. So, and you may have known that. I'm just sharing with the rest of the class. That way everybody knows 1 Timothy 1:4 is not actually Paul. It is pseudepigrapha, meaning it was written in his vein, but not actually him. So, 1 Timothy 1:4. I don't know why it's not coming up. There we go. There it is. Okay, let me read kind of the larger context here. Starting in 3, it says, I urged you on my departure to Macedonia. You should stay on at Ephesus to instruct certain men not to teach false doctrines or devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculation rather than stewardship to God's work, which is by faith. And one of the things that's talking about too is like they were obsessed. I mean, if you want to look at this in a positive light, they were obsessed with whose bloodline was who. And so one of the things that the author is saying, I won't say Paul, but the author is saying here is that, you know, quit worrying about like the bloodlines and the genealogies and all of these things and actually just go do the work, go do what Jesus said. And that's actually what I talk about a lot. Now, we look at all the ancient mythos, but I don't look at them going, okay, who has the bloodline and who is this and who is that? No, it's like I deconstruct the idea that none of these Elohim, none of these gods, including the God of the Old Testament, including the Sumerian gods, all of these were most likely, if this is literal, physical beings that had a lot of technology that ended up being worshipped because they could just wipe out civilizations, including with a flood, including by melting Sodom and Gomorrah with some sort of powerful beam or a big boom boom. And literally just get rid of people and was not very patient or kind. And if he was very egotistical about it and going, look how patient I am. And that has nothing to do with the spiritual father and mother that Jesus was speaking of. And I say mother because he talked about the helper or the Holy Spirit, that would come. And I believe that's the mother. And if you understand spiritual alchemy or quantum God theory, which I teach a lot about, you understand father, mother, child. And so that verses like this are an attempt to build a new construct. And while there are some good things in them, there's a lot of really poorly perpetuated ideas that ended up just controlling people more than helping them. And so that's why I'm not a big fan of Paul's writings, because they just really restrict back down this beautiful freeing message of Jesus and try to put limiters and blinders on the whole thing again. Almost like that this individual was there with Jesus when he never was. And even being attributed to Paul, Paul was never like walking with Jesus. He had an experience on it, on the road, and that he allegedly saw this vision of Jesus and the scales were taken off of his eyes and all of this stuff. And, you know, and again, it can be an esoteric thing, but it's a really convenient church mechanism, because if you look at modern day evangelicalism, it's all built on Pauline doctrine and very little of it built on what Jesus said. And that's a problem for me when you're jumping back and forth between the red letters of Jesus and what Paul says. You know, that you're just crossing the streams, you're mixing doctrine, you're putting old and new wine together. Just like if you're trying to mix the Old Testament and Jesus, Old Testament's old wine, New Testament's new wine. Then you're taking the message of Jesus and then the message of Paul. Then the message of Jesus would be old wine, the message of Paul would be new wine. I mean, if you look at the sequential order of it. So that's where I really have, like, I don't know, an issue with trying to take a lot of what Paul said, or the what we consider a larger canon of Pauline doctrine, which is a lot of the New Testament, which would be like Ephesians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Romans, Acts, all of those books. I mean, like, I just quoted like a bunch of the New Testament right there, right? And all of that is what's considered Pauline doctrine. So just be aware of that. But that is a great question. And I think it's a good, you know, understanding, like, quit worrying about all, there's the truth train, quit worrying about all the literal bloodlines and connections and just actually do the work that Jesus called you to do. He said, do greater things than even I have done, right? Go do it. Where's that happening? If that was happening, people would be lit up with this new understanding of what spirituality is. If there was actual miracles going on every single day, I believe there are, but I believe a lot of people have limited them because they're waiting on a Jesus to come do it rather than realizing that power is within them. And they were literally given keys to that through the Christ Spirit within us, which is the enlightened or the anointed spirit within the flesh or the Son of Man. Again, all allegorical. Jesus spoke in parables the entire time. So why are we trying to take part of it literal and part of it allegorical or with parables rather than understanding this might all be an allegory for the truth of humanity as the Gnostics taught and believed. So Kenny says, unbelievable amount of truth train happening right now. Thank you, my friend. Sandra says, Paul was very legalistic. He had Pharisee roots. So what do you expect? Absolutely, Sandra. Absolutely. I agree with that. Like I said, there's some good stuff in Pauline doctrine, but it's just overwhelmingly laden with legalism, in my opinion. And I don't really respond well to that. So Malcolm says, hey, Cub, what it do? You the truth. Thank you so much, my friend. Appreciate you, Malcolm. Bless you, my friend. Let me get a quick drink here, and then we'll keep going. Got to keep it lubricated here. So, oh man, we got a bunch of people with questions. I'm sorry, I didn't scroll down on TikTok here. So, yeah, exactly. Jay Chase, the old adage: sometimes you got to rob Peter to pay Paul. Exactly, exactly. The Gnostics, Abraxas, absolutely, Vaughn, absolutely. It's a big puzzle piece. Christian says 100%, my friend. I used to be cool with Jesus until I read Luke 14:26. Stumpy Cottonwood, why did that make you not cool with him? I'd love to know. And again, I'm happy to read the Greek on that and share, you know, maybe a little bit more about what it's trying to say. So Luke 14:26. Let's look it up. Let's do it. I like getting into it. So it says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Okay, great question. What does this mean? So first off, we have to look at the word hate here to understand what it actually means. So that's Strong's 3404. We're going to go look at that actual word here. The usage of it is I hate, detest, love less, or esteem less. Okay. So, oh, interesting. That gives a little different connotation there when we look at it. So, and so it's more of a, in light of the Christ consciousness, in light of the truth and understanding, and basically like quit trying to get the approval of all of these people. When you esteem less your mother, your father, your children, your aunt, your uncle, your husband, your wife, any earthly human being's opinion over the opinion of the truth within you or the Christ spirit within you, then that's where you end up just serving more humanity, and you literally end up not serving humanity in a good way, like you're going and serving them water and food and stuff like that at a homeless shelter, but you're serving their egos and your ego by saying, I need to win the approval of these people. How many people will start doing, I mean, I know in our community, how many people start doing yoga and meditation and husband or wife says, hey, I think that's evil. You should be careful, Cub. You should be careful, so-and-so, Stumpy. You should be careful, Chase. You should be careful, Mike, or you should be careful, Sandra, whoever. How many people have like ended up in that situation where a significant other says, oh, I think that's dangerous, or that's not very Christian, or that's not whatever, or that's not what our culture believes or whatever. And then you go, wait a minute, maybe you're right. No, it's like you have to be 1,000% true to the spirit within you that's calling you to love, light, and power. And that is a very, very different understanding of the verse where it tells you to hate your family, because that's not what he meant. He didn't mean to actually hate them. He meant esteem less, because that's literally what that word means, to esteem less, to not put on the highest pedestal. And so it doesn't mean disrespect them. It doesn't mean be rude to them. It doesn't mean hurt them. That is not what he meant there. He was trying to make a point that in comparison, you have to esteem less the opinions of others over God the Father and Mother within you. So Lenny says, I have a much harsher opinion of Paul, aka Saul. The writer of Revelation does too, if you decode the word play. Yeah, and I mean, I've said many times, I really think that Paul was a plant by Rome to literally screw up the Gnostic belief system that Jesus was perpetuating. Not that Jesus was Gnostic, but I believe Jesus was teaching Eastern mysticism and the truth of God within you in a time when the construct wanted nothing to do with it. And then you end up with what we view as Western Christianity right now. And you just have a whole nother system of legalized, doctrine and dogma that we call legalism, which is pretty much everywhere, by the way. And legalism is not even a thing that some churches suffer from. It's a thing that all churches suffer from, that try to take a 66 book canon of the Bible, call it the Word of God, and try to reconcile every word and phrase in it with each other. It is maddening, guys. It doesn't work. It is not good science. It is not good mythology. It is not good esotericism. It is not good doctrine. Okay. It is not all written and intended to go together. It is meant to be an understanding of ancient mythologies, cultural biases, mysticism, and then perpetuation of a construct. And if you read the book of Acts, it's like literally setting up another control system of how people are supposed to operate under this new belief system, rather than, it's not supposed to be a new belief system. It's supposed to be a new humanity, a new way of life, a new understanding completely. Sandra says, try watching The Chosen. It is a great show to give picture of the love of Jesus showed to everyone, and it's well put together. It's not a believe in Jesus or burn in hell kind of show. Awesome. I love that, and I really, really like that show. I didn't get through a whole lot of it just because it did have some of the doctrine in it that I try to steer away from, but I did really like the initial effort to make Jesus a lot more mystical. The one that I really, really love is, The Messiah, or Messiah, just Messiah, on Netflix, that puts Jesus in modern day. And he's a very, very much an Eastern mystic, in the middle of modern day cities and, you know, what we would have done to him today. And it is the least Christian thing you'll see, but the most Christ-like thing you'll see, in my opinion. And so I love that one myself. Drywall Mike says, realizing Christ lives within us and has returned in us. The age of Aquarius, the great reveal, end of the Kali Yuga. It's here now and scary and beautiful and wonderful and amazing. Amen, my friend. Absolutely. I agree with you, my friend. Sandra says, Lenny would love to know more of your decoded revelation. Yeah, and if you actually look at Revelation, first off, let's call Revelation what it is. It's a channeled work. Okay, it's just like a Dolores Cannon work or Emerald Tablets of Thoth or any of those that someone had a vision and channeled it. And we can call it God breathed, but you know, you got to ask where it came from. We don't even actually know who the author was. And the Jesus in it is very different than the Jesus of the Gospels. In fact, very, very different. And in fact, it ties a lot of mythology into the book of Revelation. I'm not saying it's not good, but I'm telling you it is not literal. The seven churches are your seven chakras. The seven seals are what happen when you break open that chakra. You have 777 all through it. And that has to do with your chakra system. Like, this is about, Revelation is about ascension and overcoming the God of this world or the beast, which is literally described in the book of Revelation as Yahweh in the Old Testament. Don't believe me? Go look it up. I've got all the data. It describes them exactly the same, as a leopard, a panther, a bear, in exactly the same order. You can go read it. I won't read it on today's because I've already gone through that a lot. But it's literally all there. And so the author of Revelation intended, I believe, to draw a conclusion between the God of the Old Testament, Yahweh, and the beast who is perpetuating the system of control on the earth. So, and again, that has nothing to do with people. All respect to our Hebrew roots brothers and sisters. But I believe that what that's talking about is actually calling out the God of flesh. Even Enoch says, I speak with my tongue of flesh and bind these angels on earth. You will not ascend unto the heights of heaven anymore. And for me, it's about the tongue of flesh or the prophets of flesh or the prophets of Yahweh binding the true human spirit, the true being within us, the soul, to this cyclical incarnation here on planet earth, as we are literally batteries of the gods or the matrix system, as talked about in the Matrix movies. And guys, it's all in front of you. You don't need it to be in scripture to prove it to you, by the way. The problem is most people are looking for, I need the one written down doctrine that will tell me the truth about everything. You are the divining rod of truth. Okay. The spirit within you, if you connect with the true spirit of God within you, it doesn't go by a name. It's not depicted very well in any of the scriptures, by the way. It's very hard to explain, but once you contact it and you have direct contact and you realize I am God and God is me, and there's no ego in that, there's just love and unity and connection, then nobody can fool you again, by the way. You don't go back through the doors of a church. That's not a two-way door for you anymore. That is it is an awakening where you realize these perpetuations are not helping anybody. And you can't sit here and just tell someone this is the truth. They have to experience it. Those with eyes to see and ears to hear, knock and it will be opened. Seek and you will find. But nobody's seeking, guys. Nobody is willing to say, what if this is total BS? What if this is total belief system and the truth about me and God is something completely different? That was my awakening moment in 2020. I got down on my knees in my garage and I said, God, I'm going to give all of this back. I said, take it all away from me. I don't even care. I just want to start my life's work and I want something that's true and I want to experience the real you, whatever the hell you are. I literally said that to God, whatever the hell you are, I want to experience you in truth and light. And I want to experience you in a way I never have before. I don't want there to be a question about what you are or who I am. I want to get down to the root of what this reality is and start my life's work. And I got to tell you guys, it happened. Don't make a deal with God. because it might actually happen exactly the way you agreed. So be very, very warned. If you really seek and you really knock, you really will find and it really will be open. And that is the biggest test. Now, I know what I've been through, and I know that I asked for the truth in the most honest way that I was willing to give up anything. And I did. I gave up my house, my vehicles. I had a camper and a boat and all of the fun stuff. You know, it was all on rent, as I call it. It's not like I owned any of it. I was just making payments on it. But I had to sell it all just to get into a reality where I could explore this fully and not have another day distracted by a client or some crap I had to do, but rather focus 1,000% of my effort on exploring these concepts and helping people and meeting people, comments, questions, prayer concerns, doing everything I can. Nobody, there's like literally very few people that have put as much content online as I have. There was a time there for a while I was doing 2 podcasts a day, guys, just because I wanted to put so much steam in the pipes and get my message out there and burn through all of these ideas as quick as I could. And I was literally going live at 11 in the morning and 3 in the afternoon, reset and repeat. And I was going live, going over and over and over and over. And now I just do 1 a day, Monday through Friday. And then Saturdays are our Zoom calls. And then I take Sunday off. And I have a much better balance of life now. I get to enjoy myself a lot more, but I needed that time of just putting steam in the pipes to get the engine moving, because that's what it's all about. And that's what it's about with you. By the way, once you find the truth, you have to create into it. That doesn't mean going and telling people, I found the truth and you need to know. It means you better start living like you know the truth. You better start living and acting on it. And every opportunity that the universe gets, it will throw something at you to test what you believe and what you're made of. This is a literal video game we live in, and it's not about good and evil. It's about, are you worth your salt? Are you spiritual gold or not? Are you the alchemist? Can you turn lead into gold within you? That's what this is all about. That's the goal of the game. Are you willing to purify energies and truth within you? Or are you looking for a scapegoat? That's my biggest question to everybody. Absolutely. Bye-bye says you'll find you don't need material stuff. It just turns up when you need it. 1,000%. Absolutely. Drywall Mike says, like I'm the Matrix. Those who take the blue pill will fight the death to protect. They won't wake up and don't want to. Yeah, absolutely. I know what you mean, like in the Matrix. Yeah, 1,000%. In the Matrix movie, it tells the truth, okay? Not that we are physically harbored in egg sacs by a biologic AI alien race like it's showing with these big robots, but maybe. Not like there is a digital savior or a ghost in the machine, but maybe. Again, it wasn't through Neo that everyone had to worship Neo as the savior. It was through his efforts that he laid the path and the groundwork and the framework for other people to continue that mission. And that's literally what I think Jesus was. By the way, if you listen to the lady that wrote The Matrix and the Terminator movies, the Terminator movies are the beginning of The Matrix. Like, she literally says this on a talk show, that the Terminator movies, that the little boy in the Terminator movies is Neo. Like, he grows up to be Neo. That's what the Terminator means. He becomes the Terminator of the Beast system, of the Matrix system, of the Machine system, and becomes the Terminator of it. That's why he's the Christ figure in it. So, and in even talking about, like, when the Oracle says, you think you're the one, and he's like, oh, I don't know. And then she's like, well, you're not. And then he goes, oh, okay, I guess I'm not. But had he said, yes, I'm the one, like, that was the biggest question, is, can you agree that you are the Christ? Are you still looking for somebody to come out of the air and save you? Absolutely, Molly. Molly says, can you turn hate into love? That's the goal. That is spiritual alchemy right there, guys. And I will tell you from experience, 1,000%, most pastors will never understand how to do this because they're at a protected pulpit. Myself and many other people, many people in our community, we're out here on the front lines. There's no protection, okay? There's no guardrail. There's no guards. There's nothing other than our voice, our truth, and our love versus everyone else who's in either ignorance or passion. You can be in ignorance by just, I don't know, and I don't care, and I'm just willing to attack anybody with my words, my deeds, whatever. You can be in passion where you're like, oh, this told me this, and my book says this, and my God says this, and I'm passionate about this, and I'm going to prove to people. And you don't care who you hurt to do it, because you have the truth. When you sit in a place of the highest good and you realize that you can actually alchemize any energy into spiritual gold, into love, that's an alchemist. That's a magician. That's a Christ. Okay. I'm not there, guys. I'm going to tell you right now, there's days these comments get to me. There's days I get frustrated. There's days I'm really good at it. There's days I really suck at it. So I ain't no Jesus walking the earth, but I do have the Spirit of Christ in me. And that Spirit is what leads me. That Spirit is what saves. That Spirit is what guides me. That Spirit is what actually makes all of this possible for me to even sit here and share this message in the light of all the different opinions, and do it out of love, and do it in a way that I'm really not here to try to like twist anyone's arm or tell anybody that they're right or wrong, or even say I'm right. I'm just here to offer you another option that maybe you haven't heard before. Maybe it hasn't been put in the right words to go, wait a minute. Oh, like this could be your day. This could be your day. Or Saturday could be your day. Or Sunday could be your day. Saturday, we have our Zoom calls. That day is a lot of my days where I have my aha moments, by the way, because I get to talk with Molly. I get to talk with Honeybee. I get to talk with Dreamstar. I try to call you guys by your handles instead of your real names, so it takes me a minute to remember sometimes. But yeah, I get to talk with all of our awesome ladies, all of our men. We've got some awesome guys over there in our community. And I get to have these conversations over and over and over. And those are my aha moments, guys. That's where I come online. So, but go check it out. The membership's over at cubcooker.com. You can see it down there on the screen, cubcooker.com. If you guys are on TikTok, hit up the menu there, go over to my profile, click on the link in the bio there. If you're on Facebook or YouTube, you can always find it in the description as well, or you can scan the QR code or in the URL bar, type in Cub Cooker, C-U-B, Cub like a baby bear, C-U-B, Cooker, K-U-K-E-R.com, CubCooker.com, all one word. Weird name, it's a German name. That's my family line. So Cub like a baby bear, Cooker, K-U-K-E-R.com. And go hit that up. Go check out the membership. See if it's right for you. It really is intended for people who are serious about deconstructing and finding the truth within them and finding a community that supports that. That's literally what I designed it for. If you're not looking for that, it's not for you. No worries at all. Enjoy the free content. But if you are looking for that, don't deny yourself any longer. Give it a try. You can cancel anytime. It's literally no risk. Like, there's like no other membership out there. Mine is easier to cancel than most of these streaming memberships. Like, there's less risk in it than any of those, because all you got to do is go into your member portal and you can just click manage subscription and cancel it anytime. And that very rarely happens, by the way. So I guess the only warning would be, if you join, be prepared to do it and stay in for a while. It doesn't require you have to do a whole lot other than just be a part of the community. Be willing to be open. Engage. You don't have to check it all day, every day. You can just check it occasionally, once a week, twice a week, whatever you want. Just understand that you're there to serve others and that that's going to serve you as well. I don't ask anything of you unless you want to participate in the challenges or the Zoom calls. You don't even have to turn your camera on during the Zoom calls. You don't even have to attend the Zoom calls. You can watch the recordings later if you want to. So it is literally your membership, and it's flexible in the way you need it to be. So go check it out. Not many people are doing that, and it does support more of my awesome content. So I appreciate you guys. Faith Walker says, thank you for sharing your knowledge. Thank you, my friend, for being here. Junk and Gypsy says, I can't wait. Thank you, my friend. If you do join today, I will personally reach out to you over on the app. You can either download the app after you join on Apple or Android, or you can go over and bookmark it on your computer, your desktop, your tablet, whatever you want to use. And I'll reach out to you over on the platform as well. And then you can let me know what you need, what you're looking for. I'll connect you with either the right courses, the right people. Make sure you get reminders about the calls on Saturday. You're just going to be connected in a whole new way to what we're doing here at Cub Cooker Supernatural. It is a movement now, guys. This is way bigger than me. We've got, you know, a couple of hundred people over in our community. We've got hundreds of thousands of people publicly on the greater interwebs here between Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. We're over on Apple and Spotify. I mean, literally hundreds of thousands. We're nearing the million mark soon. And I'm very grateful for all of you guys. So thank you for supporting this message. Thank you for being here. Thank you for the comments today. And I just really hope this helped. I want to wrap up with talking about Gehenna here. I put a lot in the description that I didn't even get to talk to it today, or speak to it, if you will. When Jesus is talking about Gehenna, and he says, and this is, you know, vastly misinterpreted here, and everybody says, oh, this is where Jesus talks about hell. This is actually where he talks about your choice. This is actually where he talks about your choice to suffer, in my opinion. He says, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off, for it's better to enter into life maimed rather than having your two hands and go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. And everybody thinks he's talking about hell here because of the Greek mythos, because of, you know, even in our modern time, perpetuated through things like Dante's Inferno. Through, you get all of these different, like, you know, the seven layers of hell and all of these things that, like, we keep building, we keep adding. You got all of these church doctrines that are built around a literal hell. And that's not really what he was talking about here necessarily. So the Greek on this, he says, if your hand causes you to fall into sin, it says displeasure is also one of the definitions on here. And this is the Greek word 4624. And it says the definition is to put a snare in the way, to cause to stumble, to give offense. So to sin, you know, missing the mark causes you to, what we say in the hippie community, to get out of vibration. And so it says to cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life, both physical, present, and spiritual future existence, from Zao, which is life, which is similar to, if you've ever heard of Tao. So Zao is life. It's this existence. So it's better to enter into existence crippled. And this says crippled, lame, especially in the hands, than to have two hands and go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. Now, Gehenna, I've put this in your description here, and I really want to talk about this. So Thayer's Greek lexicon defines Gehenna as a valley near Jerusalem associated with the cries of children sacrificed to Moloch. The name came from the Hebrew word lamentation. It became a place of refuse where dead animals and criminals' bodies were kept burning to prevent decay, leading to its name, Gehenna of Fire. This term also mistakenly extended the concept of a place of punishment after death for the wicked. Personally, I believe that Jesus was teaching this to people of his time and place as a means to reveal how the literal interpretation of religious law leads to unnecessary suffering and condemnation. When we redefine the message of Jesus as an inherently metaphysical and allegorical and spiritual philosophy rather than a dogmatic system of beliefs, we begin to unlock the true power held within his words. He speaks of the Son of Man, also known as humanity, and the Christ or high frequency consciousness. Rather than a checklist of things to state or believe, the message of Jesus becomes a philosophy of spiritual freedom and agreement, recognizing that we are God and God is in us. This is the alchemy of observing the physical world and understanding the spiritual experience, rooted in the heart of each human who is willing to, quote unquote, make the two into one, as in the Gospel of Thomas, when Jesus says that heaven. This heaven will pass away, and the one above it will pass away. The dead are not alive, and the living will not die. In the days when you consumed what is dead, you made it alive. When you come to dwell in the light, what will you do? On the day when you were one, you became two. But when you become two, what will you do? So, and then below that, I have this video represents my personal opinion, but what do you think? Leave me a comment. And I say that to everybody, leave me a comment. If you want to refer back to this video, it's going to be over on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and Apple and Spotify. It's going to be episode 415 if you want to go check it out. So, episode 415. And I put all that out there. I don't normally read my description, but I worked really hard on that one, and I wanted to get it out correctly so that you understood what I'm trying to say is I believe Jesus was saying, hey, you have this letter of the religious law that tells you an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. There are so many punishments within it, and you might as well just get it over with because that's where you're going to end up under that law. So you might as well just show that you're good for it, right? Hey, you know, my hands caused me to sin. Now I don't have them anymore, right? Rather than get thrown into Gehenna as one of the unclean or one of the sinners or criminals under the religious law, that's the end for that. That's where you're going to end up. And I believe he was exposing why the literal interpretation causes suffering, not sends you to hell, but causes suffering and undue supplication that is not required for you to just wake up and realize God is within you and find that love within you that heals, fixes, and actually unlocks your true spiritual power. So I love you guys. Thank you for being here today. I'm going to end on that note. And I'm going to answer a couple more questions while I'm here. We got just a few more minutes, but that's the gist of today. And that's, if you want to know why I don't believe in hell, that's really the gist of it right there. I think Jesus was a mystic. I think he was teaching God within you. And I think he was exposing exactly what happens when you take the old religious law or the new church legalism or dogmatism so literally that it turns into a system of heaven and hell. And you might as well do away with all your extremities that cause you to sin right now, because you're just going to end up thrown in that fire, that furnace, one way or another under that rule, under the rule of the gods, if you will. And I say the gods because hearkening back to the Elohim and the Anunnaki, which is where we get things like the Old Testament God, and understanding that Jesus was talking about something totally different, guys, totally different. That's my opinion, but I think it tracks really well. So very glad I came across your live, Arlene says, definitely seeking truth. Arlene, thank you, my friend. No pressure at all, but we would love to have you on a Saturday call over on our Zoom community. I've got my academy over there, my Zoom calls, awesome off social media community where you don't have to deal with Facebook groups or anything. It's all off platform on my website. You get your own profile over there, everything. It's through our membership, stupid affordable and highly valuable. You can cancel anytime. Would love to have you over there and continue the conversation. That's where you can get to know me and I get to know you. That's where the relationships develop and the real stuff happens. I love it when you guys watch and support this stream, but the real interactions as a community and as real people working together through life and spirituality, That happens on the calls. That's why I show up every single Saturday, unless I'm like traveling with no signal and then I have one of our moderators lead it. But very rarely do I not show up on a Saturday. I'm there every single Saturday. This last Saturday, we went for like 3.5 hours. That's how important it is for me to be there. Now, I can't promise you 3.5 hours all the time. Sometimes it's an hour and a half. But this Saturday, we got deep, guys. Like we got deep. We shared intimate, personal things. We got deep into the things that I teach, things that other people teach. We got a lot of other teachers in the community too, spiritual teachers. And so it's so cool to get a lot of different philosophies. I learn stuff from other people. I will learn something from you in the community. You will learn something from me. It is such a cool experience. This is not like joining a guru's thing. This is just joining a bunch of awesome people that all resonate around this message generally, and then have a lot of cool opinions to share and ideas to unpack that we can actually do the work to dig deeper and see what tracks well and what works well. So come check it out. Love to have you guys. CubCooker.com. It's no risk. You can cancel anytime. I really, really think you'll love it. And I've got to do better selling people on it, not as a means to sell the commerce of it or the business of it, but as I've got people that tell me all the time, I can't believe I didn't join this until now, or I've heard about your membership over and over and I never joined. Whatever I've got to do to help you into it, because that's where the meat and potatoes, that's where the fruit is happening. And I don't want to leave anybody out. I don't want anybody to not hear what they need to hear to make that decision to come and join the community that they've been called to for a long time. And it's all virtual. You don't have to drive anywhere. So don't worry. It's such a cool thing. You don't even have to be very tech savvy to use it. It's all, I'll walk you through it as soon as you join. It's super easy. So come check it out. I love you guys. Molly, thank you for being here. Drywall Mike, thank you. Stella, Arlena, thank you. Gilgamesh, thank you for joining. Dre, thanks for being here. Sandra, I appreciate you today. Honeybee, thank you. Flower Power, thank you. Ashley, thank you. David, thank you. Junk and Gypsy, y'all are awesome. I love you guys. Y'all have a beautiful day. Dr. Nick, thanks for being here again, my friend. Sorry if I didn't get to everybody's comments today. I do my best. It's been a busy one. A lot of comments, a lot of viewers today. Lauren, thank you for being here. Appreciate you joining as well. A lot of community members here. Namaste, Molly. Malcolm, thanks. Absolutely. Molly says, we are a fun, crazy group. That is for sure. Our group is a safe, private place to talk about your woo-woo experiences. We understand we all have similar experiences. Absolutely, Molly. Absolutely. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate that. You can also go look at more real member testimonials directly on my website. If you are on the fence, go check out what other real people are saying. So thank you, guys. Love you. God bless you. Namaste and peace. I'll see y'all later.